It may be that the church in America has never been as rich in wealth while at the same time as poor in spiritual power. This indictment was handed down by Jesus to the ancient church at Laodicea. He may have had our day in mind when he said, "Because you say I'm rich, you don't know that you are wretched, miserable, blind, and naked." What's his remedy? Stay with us. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Today, Erwin Lutzer concludes his 8-part series on what Jesus thinks of his church. We're in Revelation chapter 3, learning about the church at Laodicea and the enormous privilege of being found an overcomer by Jesus.
What he's saying is, if you are a conqueror or an overcomer, then you will sit with me on my throne. We're talking about the throne of the universe. You'll sit with me on my throne, even as I overcame and sat with my Father on his throne. Do you realize what Jesus is saying? You be a conqueror, you be an overcomer, you will get to sit on the throne of God. Do you believe it? Think about it. I mean, we're not worthy for this man to come under our roof. And yet Jesus says that if you invite me to your table in this life, you'll be able to sit with me on my throne in the life to come. You be a part of my family. You invite me as part of your family in this life. In the life to come, you'll be a part of the divine family. He who overcomes, to him I'll grant to sit with me on my throne. See, that's what makes sin so bad, is that you don't get to sit on the throne of Jesus forever and ever and rule with him. That's what makes sin bad. It hinders fellowship. And your final destiny is not only perhaps in doubt, but your final destiny may not be to rule with Jesus. Now, no wonder the text ends up by saying, "He who has an ear to hear, let him hear," because not everybody can hear this. Let me give you two very important observations that should change our lives forever if we're listening. So listen. First, to see ourselves as God does is a divine gift. To see ourselves as God does is a divine gift. If you ask the average Bible student what was wrong with the church in Laodicea, very, very often the Bible student will say, well, you know, it's because they were lukewarm. That is not the worst problem of the church at Laodicea. Lukewarmness was not the worst problem. I'll tell you why. Because there's a good cure for lukewarmness. It's called repentance. That can be taken care of. There was something more serious with the problem at Laodicea. They were lukewarm and thought they were hot. They said to themselves, "We have need of nothing." And Jesus says, "You do not know that you are poor, wretched, blind, and naked." That's our greatest need, is a misperception of who we are in God's presence. And you cannot see who you are unless God helps you do it. Because, you see, we even come to a service like this, filled with rationalizations, enshrouded in denial, thinking to ourselves, "Well, I'm okay." Many years ago, before some of you were born, there was a book written entitled, "I'm Okay, You're Okay." Oh, really? So we're all okay. Jesus would say of himself, "Hey, friend, let's get this straight. I'm okay, but you're not okay." All right? You're not okay. Sorry about that. You have a serious problem. And the problem is so deep. The problem is so ingrained. Our imaginations, our perception of who we are, our desire to do whatever we want to do is so much a part of who we are that unless God shows it to us, we'll go on our way, on our merry way and our unmerry way, to the bitter end, and for sure will never get to reign with Jesus Christ. Only God can show us. That's why it is that so many people think that they are okay, and they are indifferent, and they have no idea how they are perceived by God. And so the text of Scripture is a reminder to us that what we must do is to let God show us who we really are. And when God does this in power, there are transformation of individuals all over. In fact, years ago, when there was what is called a revival, where God was doing unusual things in the lives of people, I remember one testimony of one man said, he said, "I thought it was a good thing that there was a revival coming, because I thought that all the people around me needed revival." And then he said that he realized that he was the one who needed it. I think of a man in Detroit who came into a meeting one Saturday, and there were 200 people, 200 men on their knees weeping over their sin. And he took his hand and he put his fist into his hand and said, "God, you'll never get me." Now, why would a Christian man say, "God, you'll never get me"? It's because he had a hot temper and 5 children. It's a bad combination. And he knew that if God ever got him, he would have to go to his children and apologize for his irrational temper that ruptured his relationship with those children long ago. And he was a proud man. Well, I'm here today to tell you that God got him. God got him. And that's what happens when we let God get us. It is deep, it is abiding, eminently worthwhile, and guess what? We get to rule with Jesus on his throne. Think of the contrast. I mean, just think of the contrast. Over here, you're indifferent, cold, indifferent, cold in the wrong sense. You don't care. It's okay by me. It doesn't matter. On that hand, I will spit you out of my mouth. On the other hand, imagine what we should receive and what we don't receive, and we receive in its stead to rule with Jesus because we are overcomers. You say, "Well, Pastor Luther, that's fine, that's good, we've heard you, we're listening, but how do we become an overcomer? I mean, isn't that what you're asking? Because it seems to many of you to be an intolerable responsibility. I mean, think of all the things that you're supposed to overcome. Who can do it? I can't, you can't." Becoming an overcomer begins at a very basic level. The Bible says these words. It says, "Everyone who is born of God overcomes the world." There's the same word. Everyone who is born of God overcomes the world. And who is it that overcomes the world except the one who believes that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? I'll tell you how you begin becoming an overcomer. You begin by acknowledging Jesus to be the Christ and confessing your need of him and receiving his free and abundant and unfettered grace. That's the way the process begins. And then in him, you and I can be overcomers. Meanwhile, he stands at the door and knocks. Could I urge you today, don't say no to that voice. Remember the story of the wealthy man who was also a drunkard, who would count his money in the cabin and then put it beneath the floor and keep it there. And he had a dog. And one night the man went to bed after a bottle of whiskey and was sleeping tightly. And the dog began to bark and bark and bark. And eventually the man in a stupor shot the animal. And it was after that that the men that were outside came in and stole his money. Don't say no to the voice of Jesus who is speaking to you today, either as a Christian because you're not in fellowship with him or someone who's never trusted him as Savior. Do not say no to that. That was for emphasis, unplanned emphasis. Do not say no to that voice. It's the only one that can save you. And so Jesus knocks. Sometimes he knocks through a funeral. You go to a funeral and you realize that you too are going to die and you begin to think about eternity. Sometimes he knocks through the prayers of a grandmother, the prayers of a mother, the prayers of a spouse, and Jesus knocks. And sometimes he knocks in a message like this. And he knocks through the beautiful music and the words that draw us to God. But don't you stifle the only knock that can save you. Let's pray. Well, Father, what else do we have to say? There is the invitation, there is the grace, but there also is the great challenge. Would you speak to all who have heard you today, anyone whose ears were open? Would you speak, Father, we ask. And we pray that whatever you are asking people to do, they will do. May I be willing to do it. May others, the staff and the elders, the leadership, be willing to do it, we ask. Oh, Father, come to us. Now, before I close this prayer, I want you to pray. What is it that you need to say to God? Christian, are you willing to confess that sin and get rid of it so that you can have fellowship with Jesus? You, as an unsaved person, are you willing to come to Christ and let him change you as you put your faith in him and thank him for what he did on the cross for you? Whatever it is that God tells you to do, you do. Father, hear the cry today of all who have listened, all who have really listened, and have mercy on us because we are dependent on your grace. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Well, this is Pastor Lutzer, and this ends this series of messages entitled What Jesus Christ Thinks of His Church. And at the end of this broadcast, you're going to be given some information as to how these messages can be yours, so that you can listen to them again and again. But I want to conclude today with a prayer. Specifically, I want to pray for those of you who have heard the voice of Christ. He is knocking on the door of your life. I'm going to pray that you will open that door, and you can open that door. If you want to, you can pray a prayer like this. Oh God, I know that I am a sinner. I know that Jesus Christ died for sinners. Today, I give up the weapons of a rebel, and I kneel to receive the grace that comes to me through Jesus Christ. I receive all that he did through his death and resurrection for myself. And I thank you that you've received me because of your promises and grace. In Jesus' name, amen.
Erwin Lutzer, wrapping up When Jesus Observes Our Hearts, his final message on what Jesus thinks of his church, taken from Revelation chapter 3. We all need to know what Jesus thinks of his church, and this 8-part series will be sent on CD as our thank you when you give a gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Ask about what Jesus thinks of his church. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw.com. Or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. Beginning tomorrow, don't miss a series on The Invisible World. This is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.